Hello, listener mine, and welcome to the Destiny Check-In, your home for Heroes Past, Guardians Future, and those yet to be risen. I'm Six Detmar, your little light.
And I'm Niall.
What's your honorific?
Oh, geez. Very tired Raider. That's what I'll go with today.
You know, that's fair. You know, you don't have to, like, I have to come up with a fancy title, because here's the secret here. I have all the experience when it comes to, like, the podcasting, but I actually definitely pale in comparison to you when it comes to experience with Destiny.
Oh, yeah. I have no experience of podcasting, but I love Destiny too much.
Yeah, and then so we just had the very recent release of Destiny Shadowkeep, and also First Light, the free to play version of Destiny 2. And I mean, it's in my opinion, Destiny's good again. I could imagine some people arguing that it's been good for a while.
It's been good all along.
You've been missing all that. Along is okay. Listen,
okay, maybe not all along.
Yeah, like I played Curse of Osiris. That was not good. Infinite Forest, not my jam. No. Forsaken was all right though, but yeah. So we're here. We're doing this podcast. This is sort of an episode zero. We'll see after this goes up and we feel how we feel about this episode. How often this will happen again? But I guess just to start out, like, where are you at with that? You just dusted your hands and turned your back on the raid, right? Walked away as it exploded.
I did, yeah. I finished that new raid, Garden of Salvation. It's in the Black Garden. It's an incredible, incredible set piece of a raid. I did that a couple of hours ago. I'd been trying since launch, since day one of that raid. Mm-hmm. And it's a toughie. It's a real toughie. It got a lot easier, though. We've managed to steamroll the first three encounters today in very quick succession, but on day one, those are no joke, let me tell you.
So you've, like, I as far as my raid experience, I have done Vault of Glass, and then I think at one point I was part of an expedition into the Crota raid, which fell apart within minutes. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the raiding world is alien to me. I didn't do the Taken King one. I didn't do the Machine Cult one and Rise of Iron. I think that's right. I didn't do any of the Destiny 2 ones yet. How does this, like, I remember doing Vault of Glass and being like, okay, so they're like, to me, it felt like they were trying to, like, squeeze more out of the Destiny mechanics than this and the systems had built in. Like, you know, the mechanics with, like, this, you know, having, like, the shield bearer who would, like, bring down the barrier on the boss and stuff. It seemed like they were kind of trying to add, like, roles and stuff to the game that it did not inherently have. I'm curious, like, I don't mean this as a slight, but is this just another very good raid, or are there, like, new ideas in here about, like, where to take Destiny, you think?
I will say that I never played a Destiny 1 raid. I only know of those in passing. Yeah, when Destiny 1 came out, I just didn't have the, like, schedule or grouping to do raids, especially at the start. Because I guess I didn't know a lot of people who were into it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got back into it in The Taken King, but I just didn't ever do raiding until Destiny 2. So in that kind of context, I've done all the Destiny 2 raids. I would say that this one definitely doesn't have that kind of, you know, one person is the shield bearer or anything. There aren't any of those kind of I think relics, I think is what they're called, mm-hmm. those kind of mechanics. This one follows a lot in a lot of Destiny 2's raids are more about managing resources and kind of everybody being maybe in teams but having similar mechanics they're engaging with, or you know, trading off who's in charge of X now, who's in charge of banking moats, who's in charge of voltic charges, you know.
Oh, and they do the moat mechanic from Gambit.
They took that mechanic with all the kind of pickup flaws that it has in terms of like registering pickups of moats, but yeah, they brought that into this raid, which is kind of surprising. It doesn't feel off, but it definitely feels like, oh, this is a Gambit mechanic and you put it in a raid. Weird. Yeah, this raid is a lot about managing those kind of moment-to-moment resources.
All right. Well, I will hopefully do it. I'll probably wait a couple of months to do it because I managed to hit 903 last night. Oh. But I'm still, you know. Here's the thing, right? There's a big difference between you and I. You are good at video games, and as I am not, I went into journalism.
Ah.
That's what happens. If you're not good at video games, you become a games journalist.
That's what I hear.
That's how all of us get started.
Yeah.
So I'm just bad, and so I'm really scared of doing any raids until they're already in the past, because right. I would just fuck everything up. But the changes to the game are bigger than just the raid, obviously. They're quite significant right now with this whole free-to-play move, getting an influx of new players and returning old players. And I guess I would like your perspective on where the game is at and your thoughts. Like, did you try out creating a new character just to see what the new player experience was and stuff?
Well, Six, I have three characters that I have heavily invested in over the past 2 years, so making a new character...
Just delete them. Your collections will stay.
I can't get rid of them. But no, I have not been able to see what that new player experience is like. Or, you know, a returning player. But yeah, I've heard, by all accounts, it is still very clunky, and more clunky in ways than if you know, were coming back to the game a month ago or a couple weeks ago. In terms of doing story progression, which is how the game teaches you or introduces you to your skill set, isn't really there when you are thrown in at 750 power with all your abilities unlocked and no real guidance or time to really learn what your toolkit is about.
Yeah, when I came back, I have a pretty good memory for mechanics, so I remembered how to play my class just fine. But like, I sort of had a moment of just like, I don't know what to do. And so I spent like the first day back, you know, right after the update, just kind of like tottering around and being like, I don't really know what I'm doing. And what I've turned to doing is just like, I have, you know, a quest log full of like basically a bunch of exotic quests, and I've just been working on those.
Right.
And through the process of doing that and public events and stuff, I've managed to get up to 900 light. I haven't got Shadowkeep yet, but the thing is, until I get, I plan to get it this Friday. Money is tight.
Sure.
But until I get Shadowkeep, I don't really know what to do. And that's with my level of knowledge. So I guess if you have any thoughts on this, I'm curious what your advice would be for either a new or returning player, given, of course, that, you know, you're a little in the shit.
Yeah.
You don't have complete perspective, but like, how should people spend their time if they're just handed this huge ass world?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, new players, the probably easiest recommendation is play the story content. because that will give you time to be introduced to not only mechanics, like I said earlier, but also characters and story and just what the factions are and what you're kind of doing moment to moment. A lot of that stuff could be lost if you're, you know, thrown into a strike and you're fighting Zol and you don't know what the Hive is, never mind a worm god and who Rasputin is and all this. Like, you can be thrown into some content and kind of overwhelmed with just nouns, proper nouns. So yeah, I think, you know, Red War, maybe Curse of Osiris, even though it's not good, Warmind, those things will at least be a path. But if you're, I would say, maybe a returning player, or you just want to get into the kind of content that is there, stuff like, you know, strikes and Gambit or Crucible, like, you can, like you said, you can get up to 900 just doing whatever. So yeah, it is really tough to give a recommendation because I've done a whole bunch of stuff and over a long period of time. So saying, oh, this is what you really should be doing is, it's really tough because there's just a lot of it. A lot of it's good. Some of it's bad. You can just really do whatever piques your interest.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to seize the initiative here to say, hot take here, don't do the Crucible because it sucks.
Well, okay. I've put a lot of time into the Crucible.
Okay,
as one
so
of the
here's...
many aspects of this game I've put time into.
And there I think are it's two differences. Good. Actually, multiple differences. One of the differences, you're on PC. I'm on console.
Oh, okay.
Another difference is you're good at video games. And if you're not good at video games, or if you're new to Destiny, the Crucible fucking sucks.
Yeah, there is that new... That playlist targeted towards new players, I have no idea how any of that works, so I can't vouch for if it's good or bad. But yes, if you're thrown in and you're playing with competent to really good players, you're going to have a bad time because the game is fast, there's a bunch of stuff, it could be 6v6. Even for me, 6v6 can be way too much to handle. I can't imagine being a new player with that.
I especially have bad feelings because of Destiny 1 and playing a bunch during Taken King and during the era of the Blink Shotgun, which was hellish. It was just awful. People would just literally teleport in front of you and then one-shot you with a shotgun. And it was just like, okay, this is... I don't know why I'm here. Also, the Thorn... Man, I was mad when they brought the Thorn back. The Thorn is a bunch of... Like, it's cool, but, like, it's also just such... bullshit in PvP.
It can be annoying for sure. I don't know. I don't think Destiny 2 is as fast as Destiny 1 in terms of kills. Like, again, I didn't play a lot of Destiny PvP, but hand cannons used to be a lot stronger in there than they are here. They're still fast. I think it was just like, you know, one head, two body would kill instead of two head, one body. And now I'm saying all the kinds of stats that don't make sense to people.
TTK.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it is definitely better than that. But I do think, at the very least, take some time to get acquainted with your class and your abilities and sort of like the weapon meta.
Right.
Because you can also be of a mind where you're like, I'm going to take this, like... I don't know what's like. I'm gonna take this sidearm into Crucible, and like it's not impossible, but like I don't feel like it's a very good option.
Or even like I'm gonna take this sidearm into Gambit or into Strikes, and you know you'll get away with it. It'll work. You can point it at something and shoot, and it will die at some point, but you might die first. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to learn about how weapons work. That's all different from Destiny 1. If you play Destiny 1, yeah, there could be a lot of systems that to wrap your head around can be way a lot.
So what is it that you play for? I mean, like, I play basically, I like seeing the content, but more than I play for exotics, right? I think exotics are super cool, and I like collecting exotics. But you played a lot more than I am, and I assume there have been points where you got, like, all the exotics, or all the exotics it was reasonable for you to get, at least.
Sure, yeah. Exotics are very interesting. I don't think they're the reason why I play, but they are one of the very cool aspects. In case you didn't know, exotics are either weapons or armor. And weapons and armor that have specific, unique abilities that other weapons don't have that are usually much more powerful than other things. So, let me think. You can. I have a set of boots on my Titan, and these boots allow me to have one of the effects I have as my class, which is when I kill something with a solar ability, it makes a area of effect sort of damage over time, solar sunspot is what they're called. And if you stand in that sunspot, you get a bunch of bonuses, ability regen, and damage. And these boots allow me to give those effects to any allies who stand in that.
Oh, that's nice.
So it turns it from this very solo style of class, you know, you benefit from this, you get the damage, to, oh, now I can play with a team. Now I can set up my sunspots in different places that benefit where my team is standing, and everyone gets all their abilities and they can do cool shit. So yeah, it's exotics are very cool for that. For that change up in play style, which, you know, when you play a couple thousand hours, you're looking for any kind of build changes.
And they also kind of break the rules in the game of interesting ways. Like, I had an experience the other day shortly after I completed my quest to get my Risk Runner, which is a submachine gun that when you're electrocuted, you get infinite ammo. Has some other effects, but that's the short pitch. And I did an escalation protocol, and just by a weird happenstance, there were six guardians there, including myself, and three of us had Risk Runners. And so we basically spent that entire, like, all seven stages of that fight with basically permanent infinite ammo, because there was electricity everywhere.
Yeah.
And just running around holding down the trigger on this very fast firing SMG, and it felt busted, but in a really, really fun way. So,
yeah, Risk Runner is a very cool exotic, and even though it sounds simple, you know, there are other things that it does, but it's always one of those things you want to have in your toolkit. And a bunch of other exotic weapons are like that, in that they do a cool thing, they do one thing really well, and it has a very good place that it fits into, but it's not universally applicable or good, right? If you're using Risk Runner and you don't run into any arc, you've got a submachine gun. That's about it. It's a dope looking submachine gun and it sounds cool, but if you're not getting the perk off, it's a submachine gun.
Yeah, so a lot of the exotics are circumstantial in a way that's valuable. But you were explaining that, like, that exotics were a nice thing, but not the reason you come to Destiny. What do you come to Destiny for?
It feels really good to shoot stuff, which is, you know, why I play the Crucible a lot. I think that is one of the reasons I've stuck with Destiny over this, like, 2-year period, especially when it was in not a great state, is that in the PvP area, which I'm pretty good at, not wildly good, but I am good enough to hang and have a good time. And it's just a very fun environment. And is one of the areas of the game where you can change up your build practically every time you play. And always find something interesting or some combo that you really like. And find something new to just mess around with. To just, like, you know, if there's a meta, right? Like in any competitive game, there's always going to be a meta. And you can go with that meta, and that's fine. You do you. But you can also just go off to the side and say, all right, nobody's using submachine guns this season or whatever. I'm going to try out this one. I'm going to use it with this sniper rifle and just see how it goes. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes you find a gem and it'll really work out. So yeah, PvP is definitely one of the areas that I love of Destiny. And there's also the, like, end game PvP stuff, or PvE, the end game PvE stuff, where raiding and doing challenging nightfalls and, you know, working with friends to get ready for all of this content, because, you know, the raid day takes work to get to. You got to get up to 9. We have to get up to 920. That was the maximum available power. So you have, you know, a few days of working up to that point, and you're doing a lot of challenging content that normally people would just put off until they are of appropriate level. But if you go in there on lower level, you can get a bigger reward out of it, and that'll help you in the short term. But yeah, there's a lot of really good endgame PvE stuff that can be very, very rewarding to do in groups for me.
So you played Destiny 1, but you weren't as hardcore about it. That's right.
Yeah. I played the launch game for maybe a month or something, and then dropped off. And yeah, I came back with Taken King, and played through all of that, minus, you know, raids. And it kind of just dropped off again until Destiny 2.
So now that they've implemented, like, the way, I mean, like, I guess it was always true, but now they've officially made Amanda Holiday the lady you go talk to be like, I want to do content that's outdated, right? Plus the fact that, I mean, you probably heard, but I had a warlock who I had barely played, so I deleted her to make a new warlock so I could see the new player experience. And I'm sure you've heard, but it's just the start of Destiny 1. You start, you know, waking up in a car wreck at the Cosmodrome.
Yeah.
And fight your way through. It is kind of weird how you do that, and, like, they still have the same old lines, right? Where, like, you're like, well, you don't have a jump drive, but we'll come back for that. You do not come back for that. I guess I'm curious, if you want to see, now that legacy content is a thing and they're bringing in a little bit from Destiny 1, do you want to see more Destiny 1, like, campaign content brought forward in a way?
Or
other than campaign. I mean, like, you could, you know, bring, like, Vault of Glass or whatever.
Right. I don't know if I would necessarily like to see campaign stuff brought forward. Just because when you're bringing campaign stuff forward, you have to bring locations, you have to bring all these assets, and one of the things that they're trying to do is keep this game together, keep it functional. They're trying to not have it wildly expand, which is one of the new things about these seasons that they're doing, where the content for a season is limited to that season and it will go away. Which is something we could get into. But for old stuff, yeah, I would not be adverse to them bringing back stuff like raids, where they can, mm-hmm. sort of bring them back as like little bite-sized, relatively bite-sized, sort of spaces. I would love to play them. I've been trying to get my Destiny 1 characters up, or well, my Destiny 1 character up to do House of Wolves, I think. I was trying to do that before Destiny 2 Shadowkeep launched, just in the downtime. Mm-hmm. But the progression system there is not very good for the kind of power level I was sitting at. So if they could bring that, those raids to Destiny 2 in a way that I could just hop in with people, try them out, use all the cool guns that I've got now, and all the builds, I wouldn't be adverse to that. I'd be into that. I think it just comes down to how feasible is that for them to do? If they're doing that, what are they not doing, right? Does it come at the expense of newer content in some form, right? They brought they brought the moon back with Shadowkeep, so they, you know, they don't have to go designing a whole new area, so they can put more time into other aspects of the game, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It still takes work to bring it forward. But, you know, I don't think if they couldn't bring the moon forward, I don't think Shadowkeep would be as expansive as it is. Because it's, you know, it's a relatively short campaign, and, you know, most of the new content is just is weapons and armor, and you just happen to have the, like, vastness of the moon to explore. So yeah, I'd be down to have some of that content come back.
Well, one of the questions I had planned, I don't know how well this will click given how you have less experience with Destiny 1, but are there any items from Destiny 1 that you wish would make a return? Because, like, you know, they brought a lot of exotics forward, but also or other items, but there's also still a lot that got left in the dust.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, exotics or even legendaries from Destiny 1 that I have a fondness for. One of the ones was Suro's Regime. That's in here. That's a cool gun, and I like the feel of that gun. It's still. Cool, but, yeah, there's not a lot of... I think one of the things that I would have liked them to bring back was when Ward of Dawn had a damage buff, which is one of the Titan supers. It's a big bubble. You go in the bubble, you get a damage buff. And yeah, they just brought that back with Shadowkeep.
I feel like I got that today.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, okay, cool. That's one of the things that I, like, would have wanted. Because that subclass in particular felt lacking without that.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. I want a return of... This is from Rise of Iron, which is, I think, the most disliked content from Destiny 1. People were not a big fan of Rise of Iron generally, but they added an exotic called the Kvostov 7G0X, which was an exotic version of the first gun you get in the game.
Right.
And that thing was cool. I would love to see that back.
Well, they brought the Kvostov back in a common item form. You can pull that from collections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same version you got at the start of the game. Yeah. So maybe they're working their way up to it.
They could be, yeah. They could be. You never know. Unless you're a data miner, then you probably know.
Well, you know, you can't mine everything yet.
Sure.
Maybe you can. I don't know.
I don't know. I gotta go look at that stuff. I try not to.
So... Okay, I think we're ready to wind down, but I am curious, like, we're in the middle of the season of the Undying, which I guess just means we kill Vex, right?
Yeah, the Undying, the titular Undying is a specific Vex mind. That's about all I've gathered.
Mm.
They're jumping through time as Vex do. We got to stop them. We're building a portal very slowly so that we can kill them over and over and over again. That's, you know, classic Destiny stuff.
Sure. Sick.
Yeah.
So okay, we've had there was the season of opulence. Did that work the same way, or is that just the name of a set of DLC?
So the last three seasons, season of the Forge, season of the Drifter, and season of opulence were pretty much just DLCs. You know, you buy them, you have them, you go through the content in a very linear fashion. And then those ones specifically opened up into a end game, or well, mid game to end game activity that was repeatable. But those are still in the game and those are still around to do. And they had story content. Two of them had raids. Season of the Undying, I don't have the chart in front of me for exactly what it has. But it has the activity, Vex Offensive, that will be repeatable. That's where you're going to get weapons and armor. And it'll also have, what else?
I mean, you got the Arena's Vow, which is both free and premium, but premium you get it straight away.
Right, yes, the whole seasonal progression paths stuff that they have introduced is all new. And is all only available for this season, but that, you know, Ariana's Vow will, I believe they said, will become available at some point, but not until at least 6 months, I think is what they said. So there's some exclusivity period to it. So get it now while you can. It's a cool special ammo hand cannon.
That sounds great. But I was setting you up. It was a setup.
Oh, no.
Because this system of like the season pass and you have the free version and also the separate paid track, is an idea that was I don't know if invented, but certainly made popular by a game called Fortnite, I think.
Oh.
And then also it's in the what's it, the good one, what's the good one, what's called the,
is it
oh no, it's Apex Legends, that one's good.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But
you know where the whole season pass stuff originated from? Six,
the original season. No, I remember the online pass, but I don't remember where the first season pass came from.
Well, it was really the battle pass. It was really Dota.
Oh, Dota.
It was Dota. Really Dota all along. This is now the Dota podcast. Welcome to Bottle Pro Reborn.
Oh, my gosh. I've been tricked into... Oh, we got to have you on Bottle Pro sometime. But what I was trying to rope you into is do we get Battle Royale Destiny mode?
Ooh. You know, never say never. Especially when it comes to battle royales, because they'll worm their way into anything and everything.
Civ 6, like what the hell?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it would be really tough for this game to have a battle royale, given how weird their networking stuff seems to be. I think they could probably do something like a smaller thing, like, I don't know, 20 people or something. I would be interested to see what a Destiny battle royale would be. I just don't know if that's what I need out of Destiny.
Sure. The question is it what the market needs out of Destiny?
Oh, the market wants Destiny on your phone. The market wants Destiny everywhere you go, the market wants, what else does the market want? The market wants a Destiny gacha game, get JPEGs
of your
gun wives or whatever. Yeah,
crossover with Girls Frontline. I'm here for it.
Yeah, give me like a Pokemon Go style thing, but it's Destiny. You know, put Destiny everywhere. Put it everywhere. Give me every version of Destiny you can.
All right, that sounds like a good idea to me. For next episode, whenever it happens, I have some features planned. We're gonna have lore, not necessarily lore of the week, because I doubt this show will be weekly. We're gonna talk about like weapon balance and stuff. We're gonna talk about factions. We're gonna have some fun conversations. But until then, this is the Plug Zone. Welcome to the Plug Zone. Would you like to go first?
Sure. The only thing I've got is my Twitter account. You can follow me at Niall Thacker. That's at NIALLTHAKER. You can see all my bad tweets there. Right now, all my retweets of Premiere art. I have not seen Premiere. It is not out over here. I want to see it.
Back in the day, it was I remember adding the Steam nickname the Dinnerator to you because there was a period of Twitter where every day I would log on and I would see three screenshots of you with you know, battle royale wins in PUBG.
Yeah, that game had a real good moment. Yeah. That's what I'll say.
Kind of lost it maybe, but here we are. As far as me, I'm on Twitter at SixDetmar, that's SixDetmar. If you have any thoughts or feedback about the show, my DMs are open. Feel free to pass a message along. But until next time, whenever that is, keep your light strong, Guardian.
Peace out.
Oh, you're stealing mine!
Well, yeah, you went first. I have to close it somehow.
You took the piece that's like my trademark.
Okay, hang on.
No, it's I'm stopping recording. You can't fix it.
Oh no. Well, I won't.